ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിഥിലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൌരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവനധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസാദ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഹേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖാശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതസ് ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൽ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയൂ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ നാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഭോഗം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമത്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാപരൈ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യമരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദ് അമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം ഹുരഹോരസിയാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്യുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മേ യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിതാദൃതാനനിന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാവി നമ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷാ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാം യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ശംഖചക്രം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യാ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണം പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രതജലാഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥമാവികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യമജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാഭൂതിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്യവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വം സിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്യന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ വശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ യോന്ത പ്രവിശ മമ വാചമിമാം പ്രസുപ്താം സഞ്ജീവയത്യഖില ശക്തിധര സ്വതാംനാം അന്യാംശ ഹസ്തചരണ ശ്രവണാം തുഗാദീൻ പ്രാണാൻ നമോ ഭഗവതേ പുരുഷായ തുഭ്യം ഭൂതേർ മഹദ്വരേ മാ പുരോ വിഭുർ നിർമായ ശേദേയതമൂഷു പൂരുഷാം ഭുങ്ക്തേ ഗുണാൻ ഷോഡശ ഷോഡശാൽമകം സോലം കൃഷീഷ്ട ഭഗവാൻ വശാംസി മേ talking yesterday about the senses, five senses of knowledge, five senses of action. They are Adhishtadra Devata, or predominating deities as they are called in English, but Adhishtadra Devata is the right word. And in the same way, Ahankaram also. In the subtle body, we have four things: mind, intelligence, manas, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam, which means mind, intelligence, false ego, and the memory. The four things in the subtle body. And mind has come from the ahankaram. Satya ahankaram, it is from there the mind has come, based on the Pauranam, Pauraniya Darshanam. I know it is a little difficult in the beginning. You all have to just keep listening. That's all I can say. First day itself, you're not going to get it, because this knowledge has been developed over thousands and thousands of years. It didn't come out overnight, and like in the university, you can go and get it in one day. It's not going to happen. Even if you have not understood something, just listen and it will stay as a vasana inside. And because you have to remember, the rishis who gave us this knowledge, it has happened to them over hundreds of years of meditations, austerities, penances, And it is through that that they understood the subtle side of life, many things what science has no clue about it. So, Puranam, way of saying Pauranika Darshanam, it's called Pauranika Darshanam, is Vedavyasa Maharshi made it a little bit easier for us to connect with it. Upanishad's ways is very difficult, quite difficult. Difficult in the sense that if one has been trained from the very beginning, at a very early days in life, say 5 or 7 years old, and from then on, if you are in that path, spiritual path, and used to all the Vedic terminologies, it becomes a little bit easier, Vedantam. Otherwise, through the Pauraniya method, the Purana Darshanam, if you follow, you will start experiencing that Upanishad Darshanam later. Pauraniya Darshanam and Upanishad Darshanam. The truth is one, but it is presented in different ways. That's all it is. The truth is one, but presented in different ways. So, mind is coming from Satya Ahankaram. But Buddhi is coming from Rajasa Ahankaram. You see that? You have to think about all these things. Everything is not given in a, you know, on a plate. You just have to look at it and see why is it so. And if you keep analyzing, if you didn't get the answer, leave it there for the moment. It will come out later on when you understand the way mind works and intelligence works. Then you will know why intelligence has come from Rajasa Ahankaram and why mind has come from the Satya Ahankaram. So Ahankaram itself has grown into these three ways, three branches. And from Satya Ahankaram, the mind has come. Rajasa Ahankaram, Buddhi has come. Right? Ahankaram, and the Ahankaram, what we call in English as ego, isn't it? Ego is, when you speak in English, it means something. But the real Ahankaram is something different than that. It's more connected with our personality, personal identity, to think that I am an individual. When did that thought comes like to us for the soul? Soul started developing this concept that I am individual. I am separate from everybody. I am a entity of my own. This is the Ahankaram what we are talking about, right? So that Vyaktitva Abhimanam, in Shastram they call it as Vyaktitva Abhimanam, that is the Ahankaram, and mind is emotions and thoughts, chinda and vigaram. Mind is nothing but chinda and vigaram, and therefore the mind's predominating deity is the moon, and Ahankaram normally in the Shastram, in Bhagavatam particularly, it's more connected to me and mine. Ahanda and Mamada. Aham Mama. Ahanda Mamada. That is what is more Ahankaram in the Bhagavadam is. Right? So, Ahankaram's activity is this me and mine business. I exist and this is all mine. And that kind of understanding. So, it is therefore the Adideivam for, like Adideivam for the mind is the moon. The Adideivam for Ahankaram is Lord Shiva, Rudra he is, right? And whatever, why Buddhi has gone to Rajasa Ahankaram, if you think you can understand this, Buddhi is the one that prompts you into action, karma. Karma is coming from Rajasam. Karma is Rajasam, no doubt. That means actions. Action is all coming from Rajasa Ahankaram. And the force that is directing the buddhi is, the force that is directing the buddhi, directing the karmam is buddhi. And therefore buddhi has also come from Rajasa Ahankaram. That's the reason behind that, right? So, when you start actions, obviously, buddhi takes the shape of the vishayam. Vishayagaram it's called. Buddhi, that's how we sense different objects. We mentioned that before also. How we get to know, see, any time when you see an object, how do I experience that inside? And that is what is explained there. Buddhi goes and takes the form of the object, a person or a object, whatever it is. Buddhi goes and takes that shape. Not only for the eyes, it has to do for all the senses. Suppose you are hearing a sound, Buddhi has to go and take the form of that sound. Similarly, Buddhi has to go and take the form of the taste. Buddhi has to take the form of the smell. Buddhi has to take the form of the touch. All this is subtle. We don't know how to explain that more than this. Only thing I can say is this much, that Buddhi has to go, and we say in Shastram they call it as Vishayagaram. Vishayagaram means whatever sense objects you are in contact with, Buddhi goes and picks it up, takes the form, and just like with the blotting paper, you take the ink from the paper. In the same way, it goes and touches the sense objects, and it takes the object and brings it back. It takes the object and brings it back. Yeah. So, and therefore, Buddhi's Adhidevam is Brahma, Lord Brahma himself, right? Then, Chittam. What does Chittam do? Chittam's job is memory. Remembers everything. So, all the vasanas what we have created in several lifetimes, before we came into this body, in several bodies we have passed through, all that, whatever we have done, it is staying there inside, in that Chittam, in the form of vasana, right? So that is the activity of the Chittam. And that Chittam, so we have mind, the intelligence, manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, and Chittam. Those four things inside the subtle body. Or Andhakaranam it's called. Internal senses. Andhakaranam. And outside this is Kshetrajna. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Kshetrajna. Kshetrajnam. Kshetrajnam chabimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharada. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. I am that Kshetrajna, he says. Who is outside the subtle body, but inside us as Andaryami. Sarva kshetreshu bharada. In all living entities I am present there, inside. In this way, these are all the causes of creation. Up to this, Brahma has nothing to do. It's all coming from Maya. Brahma, from now on, he starts his creation. So, five dravyam, material elements, earth, water, air, ether, fire, and five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, and then their tanmatras, that means their subtle form of these five elements. And then these four things, Andhakaranam, Manasa, Buddhi, Ahangaram, Chittam. And all these things together, when they all combined together, still it could not work. Still it could not work, right? At that moment, Krishna enters into that as Andaryami. And then he joined them all together and created. Creation happened. Now, all these things what we are saying now will all be refuted later in the Bhagavatam. The same thing what we are saying now will be refuted later. But why we have to do it like this? Because if you say now what is spoken, if you understand that, later on when you refute it, you will understand it better. It's too complex it is. It's not so simple that you can pick it up straight away like that. It won't happen. So many years of reading, thinking about it, why like this, why like that. They have a way, rishis have a way of saying things. And these things what we are saying now, Krishna entered into it. In another place it say everything is Krishna. So where is the question of entry into anything? Yeah. So the thing is that when the creation happened, but the way it will be presented is like this. That creation happened. When they all came together, it could not function together. So Krishna entered into it, it says. Krishna entered into it. Then the question will always come, where is the question of Krishna entering to something which has come from Krishna? So where is the question of him entering again? So that doesn't also look right, but it will be explained later on. So he entered inside with that creation happened. That's how it will say, right? So, the subtle form of sushma rupam of prapancham. Sushmam, the subtle form of this creation is like that. All these things came together and Krishna entered into it, and that is the, and that is what we call as Brahmandam. Brahmandam is that, right? So in that Brahmandam, when Krishna has entered inside as Antaryami, for a very long period of time, Brahmandam was floating in the Karana ocean, Karana Jalam. It was floating there. For a very long time, it was floating in the Karana Jalam. And in creation, water has a very important role. Jalam. You can see from the very beginning, Narayanastum nahi sarvadeginam atma sadishagila loga sakshi. Narayanastu narabhu jalayanam tachaiva satyamna tavaiva maya. It says in the Brahmastuti. If you look at that verse, you will see there, Narayanastu narabhu jalayanam. He also is in the water. Tachaiva satyam. That alone is the truth. Na tavaiva maya. Your maya is not the truth. Says Lord Brahma to Krishna. There in the Brahmastuti, in the Dashmaskandam, in the 10th canto. So, for a very long period of time, he was floating in the Karana Jalam, this Brahmandam, right? And water has a very important, we call it water. Shastram is Jalam. Now, the elements, basic elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, it is that water that is referred to here. So, Brahmandam floats in the water. And that is why it's called Karana Jalam. What is in the Karana Ocean? Karana Ocean, that it is floating. And for a very long period of time, Brahmandam was lying in that water. And so then this pure Satchidananda Brahmam, Satta Chitta Anandam, that Brahmam entered into that Brahmandam, which was floating in the Karana Jalam for a very long period of time. And that Chaitanyam, or that living force, or consciousness, that has entered into it, that he is called Narayana. Narayana is Brahmam entering into that Brahmandam, into the Brahmandam, right? So, that Narayana, that is the title given there, and that's clarified in the Brahmastuti. Brahmastuti will explain that, right? So, what did Narayana do? Narayana enters into that Karana Jalam, into the Brahmandam, and what was staying there in the Brahmandam, together he has made it very active, because to help Narayana, this Brahmandam that is inside, it doesn't have life till Narayana entered into it. So when Narayana enters into Brahmandam, kalam, karmam, swabhavam, three things, has he used them in giving life to this. Kalam, karmam, sabhav. I don't know how to explain this, because what we have to understand is, in spiritual way of saying things, we have to give up our material way of looking at things. Materially, we will say, when you entered something into something, what we will understand is that something has occupied something else. It is not like that. Chaitanyam is present everywhere. That Chaitanyam, which is now called Narayana. Narayana is the same as Brahmam. Brahmam's one source has come like this in the form of Narayana, enters into this. And when he enters that, kalam, karmam, swabhavam, three things, he joined them together and created this Brahmandam, and Brahmandam became life. Brahmandam became lively. It has developed life in there, right? So, Brahmandam, when Krishna, Narayana, Krishna, whom we address in different ways, but it is Chaitanyam. At the end, it is Chaitanyam. See, to avoid this confusion, that is why in the beginning of Bhagavatam itself, Sri Shuka Brahma, she said there, isn't it? What did he say? Vadandita tattvavidam, tattvam yajnanam advayam, brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdyade, he said. The Brahmam is the all present everywhere in everything, and everything exists within that. That's Brahmam. And people who are doing jnana sadhana, they realize Brahmam through the jnana sadhana. Then that Brahmam itself is addressed by devotees as Bhagavan. So those who are following bhakti sadhana, they see him as Bhagavan. And the same thing, the yogis who realize him inside as Antaryami, as his very self, they realize him as Paramatma. So, Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavan iti Shabdyade, in three ways it's spoken, but the truth is one. That's what it is said. Tattvavidam, Tattvam, Yajnanam, Advayam. It is. Yajnanam, Advayam. Yeah, Tattvam and Satyam, they are one and the same thing. That is the Satyam. That is the truth. That is the Tattvam. What is that? It is Jnanam. Jnanam means that it is the Satyam. It is the truth. Advayam it is. Advayam means there is no two things. There is only one thing. But it is addressed as Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanidi Shabdyade. For different reasons, the way the upasana is performed, that is addressed in these three different ways, based on the upasanas. So when Narayana entered into this Brahmandam, it became life. And when his presence was there, it became Sachetanam. Two things, Achetanam and Sachetanam. Achetanam means there is no life. Sachetana means it became lively. It became lively. We understand it that way. That's much easier, right? Then what happened? This Brahmandam, just like the chicken, when its egg breaks up and the baby comes out from the egg, in the same way, this Brahmandam broke up and from that Viral Purusha had come. From there, Virat Purusha had come, right? So this Virat Purusha, so you can say like this, this creation now, the way we are seeing this creation, it's a subtle form is that Brahmandam. Brahmandam is its subtle form, right? And it has become in its gross form, and that is what we call as a present expanded form of the Brahmandam, where in Puranam, this concept of 14 planetary systems. It has come from that, right? And that Brahmam has become the body of that person who is expanded like this, and he is called Viral Purusha. So the first incarnation of Krishna is this Viral Purusha, not anything else. Malsyam Gurmam Varaham Narsimham, all that comes much later. The first form or manifestation of the truth is in the form of Virat Purusha, right? So Brahmandam is the subtle form, and then it has expanded and it has taken a form of a person. These are all Sangalpam. Sangalpam means that for the benefit of to understand this, Vedavyasa Maharshi has created this in a particular way to give us this understanding. And from this you will get to know many more things afterwards. Not now, much later. Many more things will come from that. So Narayana, who is present in that subtle form, when Brahmandam became expanded into this gross form, automatically Narayana also entered into the creation, the whole creation, right? So that Narayana who is present in the whole creation as a person is addressed as Viral Purusha. Viral Purusha. For example, we all of ourselves, we are sitting in this body, each one of us in our own bodies, thinking that I am this body and I am sitting here. Right? So, because I have come and sat in this body, therefore this body has become alive. Just like every one of us, whoever has entered into that body and sat there, that body has become active. Right? So, and then what do? You start thinking that this body is mine. I have come and occupied this body, and then I started identifying with the body, thinking that this body is mine, and I identify with the body, right? So, based on what? Based on this body, I'm thinking I'm this body, based on that, right? So, similarly, considering that this creation, whole creation as his body, and thinking that I belong to this body is not happening to Virat Purusha. That is the difference. When we entered into the body, we identified with the body straight away. And that on that understanding we grew up and we lived and we left one day. Body left, right? But when Krishna entered into this body, Brahmandam, and he had this 14 planetary systems as his body, and it is this 14 planetary systems, whatever Vedavyasa has written is everything in compliance with the Vedam. Nothing is outside Vedam. You must not think like that, it is his imagination, he has created something. No. What he has done, the Vedic knowledge, to make it easier for us to connect with it, he brought this into it. This, what we call as the Viral Purusha. And he mentions there, the Virat Purusha is also a person like us, but he is not identifying with the body like the way we identify with the body. Jiva identified with the body, Virat Purusha does not identify with his body of this creation, which is his body, right? So, only thing is, he lives in this. Virat Purusha lives in the creation, and who is addressed as Virat Purusha. So, if you look at it, earthly planet is in the middle, seven planets above that. Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam, Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tabolagam, Satilogam, all on the top. Then, bottom side, Adalam, Vidalam, Sudalam, Taladalam, Rasadalam, Padalam, at the bottom. And the middle, Bhumi. So, so in this way, total 14. And that is this creation. That's this creation. And Viral Purusha is present in this creation. He has entered into that. And it is his body. This whole creation is his body. That's the way that is spoken, right? So then, what did Vedavyas do after that? Brahmaji's prayers goes on like this. And there's a lot of details there in that fifth chapter. As I mentioned, fifth, sixth and seventh is what Bhagavadam given to Narada Maharshi by Lord Brahma. Brahma's gift, or you can say Brahma's Upadesham. Narada Upadesham. Upadesham to Narada Maharshi. That's what that is here. Then he mentions there, he tells all the other things about that, which part of the body is what of the Viral Purusha, all spoken in that fifth chapter. Then, so in the next chapter, Sridharajari Swamiji says there, Shashte Virat Vibhudischa Prokto Adhyalpmaji Bhedada Dridhigradamja Purvaktam Sarvam Purusha Suktada. That is Sridhar Swami's commentary on that. Based on Adhyalpam, Adhibhudam, Adhidevam, on that basis, the glories of the Viral Purusha, and confirming all that, based on the Purusha Suktam prayers from the Veda. This Purusha Suktam comes in three Vedams. Hrigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, everywhere Purusha Suktam prayers comes. In different parts of the Purusha Suktam, it comes in the way, in the different Vedas, yeah? So, so Viral Purusha, his Vibhuti is explained by explaining through Purusha Suktam prayers. And that is what Brahma gives to Narada Maharshi in the sixth chapter. Just like we have our Vagindriyam, power of speech, and the Adhishtatra Devata for that. In the same way, everything else in the body, like we talked about Adhishtatra Devata for different senses, for five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, and similarly for the Andhakaranam, for the subtle body, we talked about the different Adhishtatra Devata for all that. In the same way, for Viral Purushas, Mukham, that is his face, that's where the fire is, Agni. And there is Dhadu, Sapta Dhadu in our body, based on the Ayurveda. They will say, like you can see the blood and the bones and the thing, marrow inside, and all these things are part of that Sapta Dhadus, right? So that Sapta Dhadu, those who have familiar with the Ayurvedic way of looking at the body, they'll be familiar with this. It's not our modern MBBS doctors tells. The Ayurvedan way is that Sapta Dhadu are made of, this body is made of Sapta Dhadus. Yeah? That includes the blood, mucus, and all the other things. And there's seven of them listed there. So, in the same way, this Viral Purusha Sapta Dhadu is Gayatri and all the other Chandasa, right? And the Rasanendriyam, that means the taste, which we have different types of tastes also, isn't it? Tastes are also given different divisions of taste, sweet, sour, and then pungent, all kinds of things, right? And his present, these different tastes, is all on the tongue, and Viral Purusha's tongue is Devata, is Vishnu. The tongue, Devata, is Vishnu. And the Havisa, that is offered to the demigods, for the Devadas, when it is offered to the demigods, it is all called Havisa. When it is offered to the forefathers, for Pitulogam, it is called Kavyam. And when it is given to human being, Annam, it is Amrita. That is how it is addressed, right? That means, the type of food that sustains us. Annam sustains us. Annam means grains and all that. That sustains us. Kavyam sustains the Pitradevadas. You can see when we offer Shraddham ceremony and all, when you are offering food to the Pitradevadas, it is offered in a different way. Not like the way we eat, isn't it? But it is a mantram that makes that as their food. And that's why it is called Kavyam. It is formed in a particular way, and with the proper mantram chanted, it satisfies their needs as far as eating is concerned. For demigods, it has to be offered in the form of Havisa. That is why in all the Vedic sacrifices, you sit around the fire and everything continuously you are pouring the ghee into it, into that. But while pouring, the mantrams that are chanted, that makes that offered ghee as suitable food for the demigods. So that is how it turns as the food for the demigods. So when it is gone as a food for the demigods, it's called a Havisa. When it's gone as food for the Pitrulogam, Pitrudevadas, it becomes Kavyam. When it comes to us, the human species, it becomes Annam, Amrita. Food, it is not the material what you are offering. For us now, if we are offered only ghee, it won't help us, would it? We do need the grains. And that for Annam, it is Annam predominates our food. For demigods, ghee is sufficient. He meets all their needs in the body. And that's why they don't like our sunflower oil and all that. They only want ghee, nothing else. So, whereas we can live with sunflower oil. Demigods can't. Nor even Pitradevata, they won't accept sunflower oil. Sunflower oil for us, it's okay. For human species. So it is not what we eat is matter. It's a mandram that turns that into the proper food for their consumption. Havyam, Havisa, Kavyam, Annam. In three levels. They are also species like us, but on a much higher level. I mentioned before also, what's the difference between Pitradevadas and us, and similarly demigods and us? They are born with knowledge. They have higher knowledge. We don't have that. For us, we have to acquire knowledge first. We have to study Shastram from Vedam. And from studying, we have to acquire the knowledge. They are born with knowledge. They are born with knowledge. That's a big difference, yeah? So, in the Viral Purusha, all of them are included. Who? Demigods are included, Pitradevadas are included, we are also included. So, all those things are tasted by the tongue of the Viral Purusha. That means, in his tongue, demigods are living, Pitradevadas are living, and human species are also there in him. I know it is, we won't understand what that means, isn't it? It's just, because we are so used to thinking everything in terms of our body. We can only understand that much, what is happening to our body. In terms of that, we can understand other things. But Viral Purusha position is different. So, similarly, these two holes in us, Nasadvayam, the two holes, right? And this is through which the Vayu enters into us, Pranan. Pranan's entry is through these two, right? So, Vayu, or it's Adhishtanam, right? Is this, Vayu, and Pranan and Vayu, Pranavayu, its Adhishtanam is these two holes in this body, in our body. It is these two holes, right? So, at the same time, we also mentioned there, Ashwini Devadas are the predominating deities for that. For the nostrils, right? For the Vayu coming in. And, all the Pranan in the whole creation is going through the nostrils of the Viral Purusha. Viral Purusha's nostrils. Do you know this word Samashti and Vyashti, isn't it? That Samashti form is this Viral Purusha. Vyashti form is a individual. Like we were saying yesterday also, you can see this very clearly, how the Samashti and Vyashti is a relationship so important in the Shastram. Everything in the Samashti is in the Vyashti. Everything in the Vyashti is in the Samashti. So that is why, if you simply study the Vyashti form, is enough to understand the Samashti. You don't need to do outward experiments to find out. The Rishis came to this conclusion, that if you study the Vyashti thing, you will get to know the truth, because everything that is in the Samashti is present in the Vyashti. Is present in the Vyashti. That is why self-realization became important. This is how inquiry started. Rishis found out, if I find out who I am, then I will know who this whole creation is. This is their logic. Their understanding is that if you find out who you are, which is called self-realization, if you find out the self, then you will know the whole self, what is present in the creation. Yeah. So they have on that understanding only. You can see this way, that this body, for example, you try your best to maintain this body, but this body won't listen to you. You keep it clean, but if one or two days you stop bathing, it has become the filthiest thing. It becomes so filthy, this body, right? And similarly, if you don't eat, or properly, or if you don't sleep properly, this body will start giving trouble. So, but whatever you do at the end, this body will give up one day. It cannot be. That means with your best ability, with all the facilities and capacity what we have got to maintain this body, you try to look after this. This body will win at the end. We will lose. Is it not? The body will go its own way. You cannot maintain it forever. It's not possible. It has a lifespan, something like 50, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is. And then it's gone. It has. That means with your best capacity, you try to look after it, still it will not stay. And it is the same thing with the world also. You try to fix this world, it will never be fixed. And it is always embarrassing. You brought in all these meetings and conferences and all kinds of discussions, everything, how to bring peace into this world. And suddenly somewhere war starts. From nowhere it starts, and then it becomes a big issue. And then you feel that everything has failed. So ultimately we get defeated. And that is what in the Bhagavatam, Maitreya Maharshi told Vidura, Janam janeri janayan marayan mrityugandagam, he says. In two places, he says in the Bhagavatam. That when Krishna wants to, control is not here, control is somewhere else. This is the biggest problem here. Most of us are thinking everything can be controlled by us. We cannot control anything here. Control is somewhere else. Through the three modes of nature, Maya controls this whole creation. And that's what after Maitreya Maharshi told this to Vidura, Vidura said, I have understood everything, I'm going now, he said. And he walked away to Hastinapur. He left. He didn't stay in Haridwar anymore. So, janam janayadi janayan marayan mrityugandagam. When Krishna wants to, Krishna feels that something is creating too much problem, then he will create fight between people. One group will fight against the other and he will balance it out. He will balance it in his own way. He knows how to balance this creation also. And that is what it is. Janam janayadi janayan marayan mrityugandagam. Mrityu is the tool he uses to create this rift between people and make them to fight each other. And the people who are fighting also, they also don't know what they are fighting for. After the whole destruction is done, then they are saying that we could have avoided this or we could have avoided that. But people don't understand. The rishis understand the world better. They understand this world. And therefore they have told us that you follow this, live in a particular way, it will solve a lot of problems in this world. So anyway, that is talking about the Viral Purusha's eyes. Our indriyam, our senses here, Chakshusha, and the predominating deity is the sun, and that is Viral Purusha's eye. The sun as well as our eye present inside us as the Chakshu Indriyam. That Indriya Devada and the sun together is Viral Purusha's eyes. Similarly, same thing about ears also. Our ears, Shrotra Indriyam, and also the sound of the space, Agasham and the Shabdam, and the Adhishtanam of that is Viral Purusha's ears. Viral Purusha's ears. Shravanapudam. So, similarly, our sense of touch, Tvukha and Sparsham, and the Adhishtanam of all that is Viral Purusha's body. Viral Purusha's sense of touch, right? And everything in this creation, its Adhishtanam, or the foundation of that, including its beauty, is the Viral Purusha's form, rupam, completely, right? And then it says there in this chapter, it will say that the hair in the body of the Viral Purusha is all the trees, and those different trees are part of the sacrifices in the... We may not be familiar with these things because we are only used to see sacrifices, like we put a few bricks together and make a fire and bring banana and put into it and used to pouring some ghee. This is what we are used to. If you see proper sacrifices, you will see how much we need a forest to do a sacrifice. All the ingredients, what you require, there is a whole list. You can Google it also, you can find that. There is a list there. Thousands of them coming from the forest. And they are all required for the sacrifice, particularly for the big sacrifices. Like this Rajasuyam or things like Ashwamedham and all. That is why you can see Yudhishthira and Yudhishthira, King Yudhishthira, and also Parikshit and all, they require the help of the rishis to do those sacrifices. And all the ingredients required, you need to know where it has to come from. And everybody don't know them. They are in the forest. You have to find out people who can identify them, bring them, prepare them properly for the sacrifice. All that is required. We don't even know the names of them in English, but there is a list available for different sacrifices, what is required. Yeah. So, and that is all meant for yajnam. All those trees in the forest, every tree has got something to do with the sacrifice, right? Similarly, Viral Purusha's hair is all the clouds. And similarly, his nails are the mountains. And his hands are the ones which of the demigods which does good things with the hands. And his feet is Padanyasam, is these three planets system, Bhulogam, Borlogam, Surlogam. And as Viral Purusha, Krishna is present. You remember, you may be finding it interesting. You remember when Vamanamurti came, he measured, isn't it? And we read it in the Bhagavatam like this, with 2 feet, he measured the heaven, earthly planet 1 foot and the Surgam with another foot, we say. So we start thinking, how did he measure this? With one feet, he has measured the whole earth. From where to where? He measured that. And then, there it says that, as Viral Purusha, he has taken the form of Viral Purusha. That is another, you see, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna shows the universal form to Arjuna. In Bhagavatam, there is 4 or 5 places, Krishna shows the universal form. Twice to Yashoda Devi. Mother Yashoda saw twice the universal form of Krishna. Then Mahabali saw the universal form. Dhritarashtra saw the universal form. So at different times, Krishna has shown this universal form. It's not that it's only in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has shown universal form at different situations, right? So when he came as Vamanamurti to cheat Mahabali, to cheat, exactly what he has done, cheated him, that he measured this, that Bhumi and Sorgam he measured, and then another feat he measured the, what do you call, atmosphere, beyond than that, and that is what it is indicated here. Even Brahma mentions that in these verses, right? So, those measurements, what in our state of mind, we just think about it, isn't it? That how did Vamanamurti do this? With 1 foot he measured the earth, when we say. And then we start thinking, oh, this is all stories. This is just, you know, cannot happen in this way. We argue against it. People argue. That's why in the most of the Shastram, you need a frame of mind favorable to understand it also, what is spoken there, right? So, when the mind becomes too scientific, then it becomes very difficult. If the mind becomes too scientific, then the mind cannot accept it, many things. We have seen in our own lifetime, some very good intelligent people, intelligent sense, they had a good birth and a good training. Later on, they studied science and they destroyed themselves at the end. They had a good background to start with. Somehow or the other, Krishna gave them that opportunity to study Shastram, everything. But then due to circumstances in life, they had to they went and started taking up this modern science. And modern science confused them completely. And eventually, neither this, and the modern science didn't give them what they wanted, and they left this world without any positive results from that, right? So, here, what we have to understand, Shastram we have to accept as it is, what Shastram is saying. Shastram is not at fault. We may not have the capacity to understand that. Viveka Chudamani, Ajari Swamiji says there, Shastrasya, Guru Vakyasya, Satya Buddhyavadharana, Sa Shraddha. That is his definition. Yeah? So, when we are talking about Sanatana Dharma's origin goes back way beyond what we are talking about today. And rishis have given this understanding that if you don't accept Shastram properly, but if you keep on doubting the Shastram, how can this be, how can that be, that's not going to help very much. Shastrasya, Guru Vakyasya. Both in the Shastram as well as in the Guru, Satya Buddhyavadharana, Satya Buddhi, that this is the only truth, everything else is false. That understanding, Sa Shraddha. That is called Shraddha. Do you understand what I mean? That Shraddha means, it's not your mind you are able to give concentration for something. That's not Shraddha. Shraddha is this, that you have firm faith in the Shastram, what Shastram is saying, and accepting Shastram in that way, that is called Shraddha. Shastrasya, Guru Vakyasya, Satya Buddhyavadharana, Sa Shraddha. Viveka Chudamani says this, right? So, here, he says here, that after saying this, Lord Brahma says here, for us, our welfare, our future benefit for us, Sharanam, or the shelter, is this form, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Kshemam means, able to maintain what you have got without losing it. That includes all the power Krishna has given us. That is called a kshema. Kshema means Krishna has given certain intelligence, right? Or certain capacity to do certain things in this world. All that you're able to maintain that throughout and get the benefit from that, what Krishna has given, that's called a kshema. And Sharanam means freedom from fear. Not feeling fearful about life. All the time getting frightened about life, what is happening. Able to come out of that fear. And everything, Lord Brahma says, the lotus feet of Krishna or this Viral Purusha is the shelter for that. And then it will be protected, he says. So, Padashrayam, Sharanagadi, Upasana. And then, so you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna used this word Yoga Kshema. Is it not? Tesham Nityabhi Yuktanam, Yoga Kshema Mahamyaham, it says. He says, Yoga Kshema means that suppose you have something in your desire, you desire something, and you are able to get that, what you want, for your survival. Yeah. And that is called Yoga Kshema. And when you get protected from fear, when you don't feel fearful, sometimes mind can create a lot of situations in life when you become fearful about certain things, what will happen in the future, this thing. So, if you want that protection from that fearful situation, Sharanagadi, surrender, right? And if bhayam, fear goes away, it's called abhayam, and it says there, if you perform upasana to this form of Viral Purusha, it is possible to get that shelter. And padashrayam, Brahma explains that in a much more poetical language spoken there, right? Then, Viral Purusha 7 and Prajapati, That is his Shishnam. Shishnam means genitals, right? Upasthendriyam. That means that during sexual intercourse, the pleasure that the person gets from that, both man as well as the woman, right? The whole experience of the whole creation, what get that? That is coming from Viral Purusha's Shishnam. Viral Purusha's Shishnam, right? So, and it is compared like this, spoken like this. The semen is required for creation. Srishti Hedu is Shuklam. And that is the clouds. Similarly, Prajapati is Viral Purusha Shishnam. Then Payu. Payu is the evacuation happening in our body. We talk in terms of our body, but this is spoken in terms of the Viral Purusha. So, Visarjana Indriyam, that means evacuation that sends at the present in us. This Apana Vayu, that's what it does. We have five different kinds of pranan in the body, isn't it? Out of that, who does the evacuation? Apana Vayu does that. When all the different five kinds of Vayu are operating properly, the body is working well. So, and here, Mitran is the predominating deity of the Apana Vayu. And Viral Purusha's rectum, he is present there, and the Adhishtadra Devata there is called Nidirti. So, and you can see also that this rectum is one of the exit for the pranan at the time of death. Yeah? Out of the nine holes, pranan has to leave the body through one of the holes. Yeah? Through one of the holes, right? So, that rectum, what is spoken here, that if you leave, the pranan leaves through the rectum, yogi says, you will definitely go to hell. It is one of the symptoms. At the time of death, sometimes people pass stool at the time of death. And that is an indication that the pranan left the body through the rectum. And if the pranan has left the body through the rectum, it means that he will have to go to hell. Because pranan left through the... For the yogis, it breaks the top and leaves, Brahmarandram. It leaves the top and breaks and goes. In fact, Ashtanga yogis, there are Hatha yogis particularly, they break that with the stone to make the passage easier, the top of the head. And most of the people, either it leaves through the nostrils, pranan can leave through the nostrils, through the ears, or through the eyes, whichever way pranan leaves at the end. The soul leaves with the pranan at the end, with one of them, right? Similar, all this is Viral Purusha's Vibhuti, it is called, right? Then, what else is spoken? To understand Viral Purusha is saying here, failures in life, insult, and all irreligious things is all the backside of Viral Purusha's backside, it is, right? And the place where he sits, Prashtam, that is Ajnana or Avidya, right? And that is why we say the backside is always inauspicious. You know, when we go to the temple, you're not supposed to show your back to the deities or back to Srila Prabhupada also, you shouldn't show. You have to enter in a way that you don't show back to anybody, either to the deities, and you should not stand in such a way that you should stand in a way that you don't show the back to the deities or to Prabhupada. In that way, one should stand. That's how it used to be, but now it's all gone. It didn't last very long. Only for a few years people followed that. And after that, everybody started doing what they want. So, showing backside to somebody means that inauspicious it is to show somebody your backside. And you will see, for performing all salkarmam, you don't see backside towards that. You show the friend, isn't it? When you are performing worship, deity worship, right? So, in temples particularly, it is inauspicious to show the back towards anything. So, all the rivers are the nerves in Viral Purusha's body. All the mountains are the bones. And at the time of devastations, right, Jiva goes back and he dissolves there, and that is Krishna's Kutshi. Kutshi means this bottom portion of the stomach. That's called Kutshi, right? Then heart is our, where we have our subtle body, is it not? And this subtle body for Viral Purusha is like this, right? Dharmam is present in his subtle body there. And who is present there? Lord Shiva is present in the Viral Purusha subtle body. The four Kumaras are present there. They are all present in the subtle body of the Viral Purusha, right? And similarly, that is Krishna's heart. You know, when we say heart, it is not this mechanical heart we are talking about. Yeah, mechanical heart is on the left side, our left side. This heart is on the right side for Viral Purusha. Now it's like this. Then normally when you keep on listening to Andaryami and Pratyagalpa and all other presence of super soul, after hearing for a long time, you start taking it that there is somebody here staying as Andaryami, is it not? Actually, it is not like that. What it is Krishna is present in throughout the body. But when you realize it, you realize him there. And therefore, it is called, that's where Krishna is, we say. Actually, Krishna is present in the whole body. In all the senses, he is present. Throughout the subtle body, he is present. If you say he is present in the whole senses, means he is present in the feet, he is present in the rectum, he is present in the genitals, he is present in the karmendriyam. All karmendriyam is present. Similarly, he is present in all the janendriyam as well. But when we say Krishna is present as Andaryami inside, you get used to thinking that Krishna is only present inside in the heart. That is not right. What they are saying actually is, you realize him at the later, when you come to that state of self-realization, you realize him in the heart. Therefore, we say that's his place. That's why it is. So, in the same way here, that Krishna's chittam, what is Krishna's chittam? Krishna's chittam is, whole creation is in that chittam. That means whole creation with all the jivas here present, with all their subtle bodies, is present in that chittam. In that chittam. And it's not separate from there. So, I was saying this before. You know, you have to connect this with the realization side of it. What is a pure devotee? Pure devotee is sarva bhudeshu yapasyet bhagavad bhavam alpana. Bhudani bhagavat yesha savai bhagavadottama. Isn't it? This is in the bhakti way. If you say somebody's realization, it is like that. Sarva bhudeshu yapasyet bhagavad bhavam. What does that mean? Whole creation is Krishna. Is it not? Sarva bhudeshu yapasyet bhagavad bhavam alpana means what? Whole creation is Krishna. That means whichever living entity, bhudam it says, sarva bhudeshu. Bhudeshu means living entity. Whether it is a plant or a tree or an animal or a bird or a beast or aquatics or human species. Doesn't matter. 8.4 million different species. Everything what you see here, Bhagavad Bhavam, you have to see that as Krishna. Yeah? We want to see that as Krishna. That won't happen by thinking about it. It won't happen. How will that happen? You have to go through this. This is where the significance of these chapters. These three chapters, 5, 6 and 7, if you remember, in the beginning, Sri Narada Maharshi asked this question to Brahma, that you have created all these things, is it not? Brahma said, no, I have to explain this to you, how the creation happened. And then you will understand who is behind it, where is it coming from. And that is, these three chapters were spoken, yeah? So, if you study these chapters, the benefit is that gradually you will start realizing that the Vaidika way, Vedic method of understanding creation is different from the Abrahamic religions. Abrahamic religions see creation, somebody created and gone. That's my understanding, what I have heard so far from others. But it is not like that in the Vaidigam, in the Vedam. Vedam has not spoken that way. Vedam is saying that the whole creation is Him. He is not gone away. It is only Him in another form here, in front of us. What we are seeing, actually it is all Krishna. But to get that realization for us now is very difficult. Because we got used to Namarupam. Satya Chitta Anandam, we have no relationship anymore. So if that has to happen, Brahma says to Narada Maharshi, you asked a good question, because by asking this question, I can tell you the answer in such a way that this creation itself is Him in another form. Krishna's another form is this creation. But if I keep saying this, you won't, everyone will find it difficult to understand. What is this? This is Krishna's another form. It looks very difficult to understand. But to get there, we have to go through this the way Bhagavatam was presented. That is Bhagavatam. It is Bhagavatam, it is. To present Krishna to us as in the form of this creation. Yeah. So, as we said before, that Krishna or Bhagavan or Brahmam, Sachidananda Brahmam, and Maya together is this creation. Yeah. Is this creation. And what we are studying here is all Maya's changes. Maya, who is present in the creation, how she has changed every step. Mahatattvam, Mahamdattvam, Satya Ahangaram, Rajasa Ahangaram, Tamasa Ahangaram. From that the five elements has come, mind has come, intelligence has come. In this way, all those changes that has happened in Maya is what is being spoken here. So, to understand Maya, we have to know these things, that these are all Maya's transformation. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita in a different way, the same thing. Bhumi rabhanalo vayu khammano buddhi revacha ahangara idhi yame bhinna prakriti ashtadha prakriti. That ashtadha, eight kinds of things, he says, is my separated energy is coming from Maya. It is his energy, but it's coming from Maya. he says, Abhareyam idastanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho eyedam dharide jagat. It is these living entities who are present in this world, they sustain here and they keep this creation as it is. Eyedam dharide jagat. Jagat is their dharana, or they carry this world. So, Whatever we are perceiving through the senses is all come from Maya. That's the first thing. You can't sense anything that comes from the origin, from Krishna through the senses. Whatever you perceive through the senses has all come from Maya. But when you perceive them with your senses, you feel that it exists. That reality is given to that by Krishna's presence in that object. Krishna's presence in the object. So normally when we say world, for us normally it is namam rupam. Nama rupam. Name and form. Everything is name and form here. Isn't it? That means it can be perceived through senses. So anything what you are perceiving through senses, which is normally namarupam, is all indriya grahyam. That means through senses you can perceive them, right? And that means it is a transformation of maya. Maya's parinamam, it's called. Parinamam means transformation, right? And maya is Krishna's energy, another energy. And it is not different from Krishna, this maya. Maya is discussed in Bhagavatam in several places. You remember? So many places it comes. Maya is spoken. When Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Bhagavatam, it mentions in the fifth chapter. I think it is in the fifth chapter. He's saying here, where he said that Maya Devi stood there with folded hands. Can't remember now. So, you'll see there in the Bhagavatam that Maya stood in front of Vedavyas with folded hands. And so, here, he's saying here that what is this Maya? It's not different from Krishna. But at the same time, does it exist? If you ask the question, yes, it does exist. At the same time, it doesn't exist. So therefore, you can't say it exists or don't exist. Yeah? And that such a power that is, anirvajaniyam shakti. And that is the base. This unable to explain, unexplainable, you can say like that. Unexplainable vastu is this maya. And that is what is keeping this creation. That's what is keeping this creation. And that maya is sustained by the absolute truth, Brahman. Brahman keeps the maya, and from maya this creation has come in this form. Right. Therefore, Krishna is another energy, it is called maya. And namarupam altogether, name and form, is also actually Krishna's only. But we feel its existence because Krishna is present in them. Otherwise you won't know it. All this, we are experiencing this world now, is it not? Why do we experience the world? Because of Krishna's presence in the world. Presence in the world, right? Now, these things, what Shastram is saying, this intellectually you can understand certain things. Some people may have problem accepting this. Where is the proof, they will say. That means who are very scientifically minded, they will find it difficult. They will say, where is the proof? Rishi's answer to that is, you do the sadhana and you will realize it. So, all this knowledge in the Bhagavatam, if it is not supported with sadhana, it won't happen. Very intense sadhana is required to realize all these things. Whether it is jnana sadhana, whether it is bhakti sadhana, whether it is yoga sadhana, it doesn't matter. Sadhana is necessary. Krishna will say this later, that without sadhana, these things cannot be realized. This will all become an intellectual exercise. Sometimes you will believe it, sometimes you may not believe it. Sometimes you will accept it, sometimes you will reject it in that way. So, this maya is present there, and if you think that it is name and form, and or if you think the foundation is Krishna, Adhishtanam, right? Both are actually Krishna. Whether it is Namarupam or whether it is the foundation, Adhishtanam. Yeah? The thing is that there is only Krishna here. And this is what is explained in this Purusha Suktam prayers. See this Purusha Suktam? It's very famous, isn't it? Remember, when demigods or devadas and Brahma prayed for relief from the suffering of Kamsa and others, when they went to the ocean of milk and they stood there and offered Purusha Suktam, with Purusha Suktam prayers, Brahma glorified Vishnu. And then the sound came that Krishna will appear in this world. So Purusha Suktam prayers are used in all the temples for deity worship. Generally it is like that. Purusha Suktam is chanted for all the big sacrifices also. Purusha Suktam is chanted. So you can imagine, Purusha Suktam is a very integral part of the Vedam. Very integral part of the Vedam. And it appears in three different Vedas at three different places. Yeah. So, therefore he says, that's what he's saying here. If you look into the sixth chapter, in the second canto, in the sixth chapter, look at the verse 15. Sarvam purusha evedam bhudam bhavyam bhavachayal tenedam avudam vishyam vidastim adhithishtati. That is the 15th verse. Yeah. That sarvam purusha evedam. Everything is Viral Purusha. There is nothing else here. Namarubam, if you take it as name and form, or if you take it as Purusha, Viral Purusha, whichever way you take it, everything is Krishna at the end. Nothing is separated from him. And whatever that was, what he says here, Bhudam Bhavyam Bhavachayal, what was existing before, what is present now, and what will be created in the future is a part of his body. It's all in his body, present in his body, right? And it is not different from him. And what by saying that, what does he mean? That he's saying, that Brahma is saying, that creation cannot limit Viral Purusha. The Chaitanyam that has gone into the Chaitanyam or the force or the consciousness that has entered into it, that cannot be limited by creation. Creation cannot limit that. Nothing can limit that. That is why he said like this, Bhudam Bhavyam Bhavachayal. Bhudam means everything that was created in the past, which was present, and then what is present now and what will happen in the future. Nothing is outside the Viral Purusha. Everything is inside him. Right? It cannot limit him. So, creation... it's like we can say that we think Krishna is only this creation. That's wrong. Krishna is not only this creation. Then what he's saying is, Krishna is outside this creation as well. Outside this creation as well. That means, creation should not put a limitation on Krishna. When we say Krishna, you have to remember, don't go take that form as such, but Sachidananda Brahman. Brahman is being explained in this, Purusha Suktam prayers, to understand the Brahmans, how the rishis saw Brahman. That they are saying here that, creation cannot limit Brahman. Cannot limit Brahman. So, because if you say creation, Krishna is the holy creation, one day creation will get destroyed. That means Krishna will get destroyed. So that is why it is said like this. If you say Krishna is this creation only, if you say like that, when the creation gets destroyed, people will say, that's why sometimes there is this argument from people. They say, can God die? Those who ask this question, they are people who are asking that, who created this? God created this. And then, can God die one day? In some, I'm saying this comparing with the Abrahamic thoughts from the Vedic point of view. Yeah. And from Vedic point of view, you are saying that creation will come and go. That's not permanent. But the Chaitanyam is permanent. Consciousness is permanent behind that. Yeah. So, and this is the reason you will see, if you look at the Purusha Suktam prayers, there is a word there, Atyatishta Dashangulam. Purusha Suktam prayers are not given in this as such. But if you take the original Purusha Suktam prayers, that Purusha Suktam prayers in this one, what is spoken, is another version of that in a different way. But original Purusha Suktam prayers, if you look at, you will see the mention, one of the word is Atyatishta Deshangulam. It means that he remains outside, 10 inches outside the creation. 10 inches, it says. It does not actually mean 10 inches. You may think, where did they get this inches from? So what is he saying is that he is not limited to this creation. He is outside this creation as well. He is outside this creation as well. And he is present in everything, everywhere. And therefore, he is not limited. He is not limited. This 10 inch is only a mathematical figure they have put in. Why 10 inch? Why not 11 inch if you ask? I have no answer for that. But only it says 10 inches. Atyadishta Deshangulam, it says there. What means is that Chaitanyam or that consciousness, Bodham, that is what we are concerned about. That is the Jnanam, what he is saying here in the Vadandida Tattavidam Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayam. That Advaya Jnanam, Satyam, is what we are discussing. And that is Brahmam, Paramatma, Bhagavan, as he is addressed. And he is not limited by this creation. He is not limited by the creation, right? So, just like the sun has got the sun planet, and when sun is present, we can see that whole disk, sun disk, you can see that. Similarly, in all the planets in the solar system, we can see them at different times, their presence, right? Similarly, what sun does is, due to sun's presence, a lot of planets are present in the solar system. We call that a solar system, isn't it? That means there is one sun, but all the other planetary systems are put together with him to one solar system, right? And what the sun does is, he makes it visible for us. We are able to see their presence, right? And in the same way, Krishna, due to his presence in the whole creation, we are able to see this creation and experience that, right? So, the creation is seen by or perceived by us through the senses by Krishna's presence. Exactly like the sun present in the sun planet, the sun who is present there, by whose presence he gives us the impression of the existence of the sun or the solar system. In the same way, recently there was interesting, there is a discussion going on about the Sostiga sign. I don't know whether you've seen it. Yeah? Sostiga. So. So, in the West, the concept about Sostiga is it's a part of the Hitler's Nazi thing and all, Nazi thing. So, basically, where is this Sostiga coming from? Where did they get this? If you look at the pole star, around the pole star, the Sapta Rishis takes four different positions. North, south, south, east and west. And the seven planetary systems, which are on all the four sides, they take these four forms. Yeah? If you join them all together, it comes to Sostik form. And that is what has come in from the Vedam. It has come from the Vedam. It's not a new thing. It's come from the Vedam. And Sostika has a big influence on so many rituals in the Vedic system. It is accepted that way. But unfortunately, the modern world, it has come in a different way. And in some places, it's a very sensitive thing. If you talk about this Sostiga, they identify that with Hitler and identify with the things like that. So, but actually, Sostiga has nothing to do with all that. Hitler has taken it. I don't know how it came to his hands, but originally it is in the Vedam, Sostiga. So, what I'm saying is that the sun presents the solar system to us. Due to his presence, the existence of the solar system we know. Sun planet is there. There are many other planets connected to the solar system, to the same solar system. And all that solar system's existence is known to us through the sun. In the same way, by Krishna's presence in the creation, we get to know this creation. It's exactly like that. If because Krishna is present in the whole creation, that is why we are able to sense everything in this creation through our senses. Through our senses, right? And if only due to Krishna's presence inside. Now, there is two things. First thing, the buddhi. Krishna enters into buddhi. Buddhi brings the information of the object inside. That is when we call Krishna as the Karana Pravartayan. Karana Pravartayan means one who is operating the senses. That means from Chaitanyam, the living force inside, that influences the buddhi, and buddhi brings the information about the object that it is brought inside. But what is brought inside, if you have to experience inside, making it as an experience for us, that is another Chaitanyam comes from the Antaryami. Antaryami is another Chaitanyam, what is doing that. So actually, when we study the way the subtle body and the Antaryami works, you have to bear this in mind. The two different ways Antaryami influences the subtle body. One, it affects the mind, to the intelligence, to go and bring the form of the, as I said, mentioned before, Vishayagaram. It becomes the object and brings it in. Just because it has brought it in, you haven't got it then. To get it inside, this Antaryami has to enter into the mind and connect the mind with the information what buddhi has brought. And that is when you experience that inside. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? That it is not so simple as we think. That buddhi goes and brings the form of the object inside. But to experience that object inside in the mind, Antaryami is to go into the mind and make it experience happen there. Make it experience happens there. Right? So, and that is why this word, that to make something real, reality, to give something to reality, and that is what it means, to give some reality to something. So many things exist here, but if you ask the question, are they real? And if you have to say they are real, you have to experience it first. And that reality is given to the object by the presence of Krishna in the object. Right? So any object in this world, if you keep saying, does it exist? It exists only because of Krishna's presence in the object. And this reality, right? Reality is two different ways, right? For absolute truth, which Krishna is referring in the Bhagavad Gita, the reality is something that doesn't change. If something is changing, that's not real. Yeah. So, actual reality is that one. Something that doesn't change at all, which is called Nirabeksham. Nirabeksham means it's not subjected to anything. Nirabeksham Astitvam. They call it like that. Astitvam means existence. Something that exists, not subjected to anything. Nothing can change its existence. And that Astitvam is the absolute truth. Paramarthiyam. It is called Paramarthiyam. Paramartha Satyam. Paramarthiya Satyam. That Vastu is only consciousness. That Vastu is only consciousness. But other things in this world, for which also, if you ask something, something exists, say this table. Table exists. If you ask the question, I will say, table exists. But it doesn't have the same quality of the consciousness. Consciousness without changing will exist forever. Table, for example, if you leave it, say for 100 years or so, this table won't stay like the way it is. It will all got changed, isn't it? It would have lost its form the way it is now. Either the legs are broken or depending on how the weather changes, all conditions, it will affect its existence. Like our body, this will also change. But at the moment it is existing. It doesn't have permanent existence compared to the soul. But this also exists, but its existence is temporary. So it has a reality, but it is temporary. It is a reality, but it is temporary. Right? So, at the moment, I am feeling it is real. Even though it is temporary, I feel it is real. Why? Krishna's presence in there. It is Krishna's presence in that object that is giving reality to it. This is an important thing. Everything what you are seeing here, you say, yes, it exists. The chair exists, the table exists, the bottles exist, everything is existing, I'm saying. And even though they will all go get deteriorated in course of time and get destroyed, right at this moment I'm saying that they are real. And that reality for this temporary thing is coming from Krishna. Krishna gives the reality to it. Otherwise it cannot be. That is why they are not absolute reality. A temporary reality is given to that by Krishna's presence. If Krishna is not present in that, you won't feel that they are real. So, and if you ask the question, that this problem what we have got, these objects, that means they are temporary reality, and in course of time, they will get destroyed. That problem doesn't exist in Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. That problem doesn't exist in the Bhagavan. Why is that? Because Krishna doesn't stick to anything. Krishna doesn't stick to anything. Just like the sun. Yeah? Sun has a capacity that sun comes every morning and he illuminates everything in this world. He doesn't think he is a good person or a bad person, or he doesn't choose anybody. He gives light to everybody. Whoever is there can use the light. In the same way, Krishna also, he is present in all the objects and gives reality to it. That's all it is. He doesn't stick to anything. He doesn't choose, I'll give reality to this one, but I won't give reality to this one. He doesn't choose like that. He gives reality to everything. But if Krishna is not present in everything, you won't feel the reality of that, of its existence, right? And that's all. Krishna, just like the sun, doesn't make any choice between anybody. He doesn't show any discrimination and he gives freely to light to everybody. Krishna also gives reality to everything permanently, right? And because it is like that, the six changes that happens to this won't happen to the reality. What are the six changes? Birth, then growth after that, then it stays from, products comes out from that, procreation or whatever way that is called. Then it starts changing, viparinamam. Then it starts apakshayam. That means it is going to face death. It's going to get destroyed. And finally, death. These six changes, shadbhavam, it exists in all the human body, is subjected to that. These six changes, right? Those don't exist in the truth. Those don't exist in the truth. It doesn't have any. First of all, it's not born. Because it's not born, the six changes has no meaning after that. Only for those things which were born, these six changes apply. Otherwise not. Yeah? Otherwise it doesn't apply. So it doesn't affect him. again to confirm, Krishna is permanent, Nityavastu, Nityavastu, right? So even though, if when it joins these temporary things, it doesn't affect him. When Krishna joins this form, the changes that will happen in this form will not affect him, because he is not sticking to it. But his presence is required in him for us to see that it exists. The Rishi's understanding is not what science is saying. Science sees everything through microscope and all that, they look at it. Rishis tells us the subtle side of it. They are saying to us, see, for example, anything for that matter, say this bottle. This bottle is existing. Why do I say this is existing? Because in me, I am experiencing its existence. Where does that coming from? Because of Krishna's presence here in this. That is why I am feeling it inside. If this bottle, which will go through the six changes, because if I keep this bottle like this, after some time, the bottle will break up. After all, it's a plastic bottle, isn't it? We know how long the plastic things will stay. It will start cracking up and it will get destroyed, and plastic will also will get destroyed. Even though that happens, nothing happens to the Chaitanyam that has gone into the bottle to give us the feeling of its existence. Only its presence is required, then I feel that this exists. So, and this capacity to be like this is Krishna's unusual power. To be present in everything, at the same time completely unaffected by that. Everything in the matter, in this creation, Krishna is present. But at the same time, even though the matter is changing, Krishna is not changing. Nothing affects Krishna, right? So, similarly, all the jivas here, living entities like us, right? Krishna is present in us as jivatma. What is jivatma? Krishna is present in this and giving reality to it. Krishna is present in us and giving reality to this. That is jivatma. Jivatma is that, right? And this jivatma, according to its karmam, right, it keeps on changing its body. Only body is changing. In that way, it can go right up to the planet of Lord Brahma. Right up to the planet of Lord Brahma, and then he has to come back again. So, and he, this is his life. In this 14 planetary systems, he can move from the earthly planet way up to the Brahmalokam, come back. He can go right up to the Padalokam, come back. And ultimately, he is floating within these 14 planetary systems. And that is why our field of karma is limited here, in this, right? So these 14 planetary systems is our place of activity, where we move on, right? And so you saw this Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam. These four places, they are considered to be places. Once you have got there, the chances are that you won't come back. They are Mokshasthana. Mokshasthana means that you will only go up from that. The chances of coming back from there is little, right? So, but Bhulokam, Bhuvarlokam, Surlokam, the first three, you will come back, definitely. Because they are for bhogam, for sense enjoyment. But after that, Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapalokam, Satyalokam is for those who have gone outside the karma mandala. Karmam is only within these three planets, Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam, right? So this rebirth, what we talk about, Punarjanmam, is only up to Surgam. Only up to Surgam. That means, and Surgam then, Surgam
If you are going up, you will go up to Swargam. And if you are going down, you will go to Padalam. So Swargam, Bhumi, Padalam. The Jiva is floating between these three. He does a lot of good things and he goes to Swargam. And when his pious results are run out, he comes back here. Suppose he has done a lot of hellish things here, he goes lower planets. He goes right up to Padalam, he'll have to suffer and wait for a long period of time till he gets elevated back to earthly planet again. So these Bhumi, Swargam, Padalam, it is these three planetary systems where the Jiva floats as his karma mandalam. Karmam decides his movement here within these three planets. His karmam decides that. Karmam decides that, right? So, and this one thing, Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, all acharyas have agreed on this. There is no disagreement among them. They all agreed on this. That Bhumi, Swargam, Padalam is the field of activity of karmam. And as long as he is involved in the karmam, he will float between these three planetary systems. Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tabologam and Satyalogam, once you have got in there, any one of them, then the chances of coming back is very little. Unless you get offended some great personality there and get offended somebody, and due to Mahadadikramam, you can fall back. So, whichever world you go to, whichever planet you go to, unless you realize yourself, you won't get liberated. Even if you are going to Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tapologam, Satyalogam also, because you can get to Brahmalogam even with karma. Through karma you can get to Brahmalogam also. For example, that is why all this Ashwamedham performed by the kings. Yeah, Ashwamedha Yajnam can elevate a person right up to Brahmalogam. It is possible, right? But you can't say that they don't have rebirth because they have not realized the self yet. Self-realization has not happened. Therefore, you can't say they don't have the rebirth. But if you have performed sadhana here and if you have realized the truth, self in that way, then, and if you get to Brahmalokam that in that way, if you get to Brahmalokam, then you will get liberated and go. So, Brahmalokam you can get through karma by performing sacrifices, but you are not self-realized, then there is no chance. You may come back from there, fall back from Brahmalokam. But if you have realized the self through sadhana here, jnana sadhana, bhakti sadhana, yoga sadhana, whichever it may be, if you have realized that, then there is no chance of coming back again from Brahmalokam. So, if doesn't have, when we say self-realization, you say it in another way also, that if you don't have the knowledge of the self, who you are, right, in that case, punarjanmam will come, rebirth will happen, right? And because when the sugradam is finished, punarjanmam will happen, right? But when you, suppose you got to Brahma's world, Brahma's planet, and you have got the right to stay there for one whole life of Brahma, you can stay there, right? And you can stay there till then, and when Brahma's life is over, when the universe is destroyed, Brahmandam is destroyed, and Brahma has to accept another form, he also has to accept another form. So it, that is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, A Brahma Bhuna Loga Punaravati Arjuna. Remember? So we should not forget that. Krishna is saying that right up to planet of Lord Brahma, there is this rebirth is happening. A Brahma Bhuna Loga Punaravati Arjuna. Maam Ubetidu Kaundaya Punarjanmana Vidyade. Maam Ubetidu Kaundaya means those who have realized the self. That's what Maam Ubetidu Kaundaya means. But when you explain that in another way, it gets very confusing. You have to see that with the background of all these things. When Krishna is saying that on one side, it's saying Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tapologam, Satyalogam is Brahma's planet, right? So all these four planets, if you go normally, you don't return. If you have gone there with sadhana, if you have performed sadhana and got there, you won't return. But if you have gone there with karmam, you will come back. If you have not realized the self by then. Yeah. So, and Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartiroji. Right up to Brahma Lokam, Krishna is saying there is this repeated cycle of birth and death. So then question comes, what is moksham? Moksham means Muktirhi Tanyadha Rupam Surubhyana Vyavasthiti. That's only moksham, right? So if you are able to stay in that situation, then you are liberated. So if that liberation can happen anywhere, it can happen in the Bhumi, it can happen in Surgam, it can happen in Maharlokam, it can happen in Janalokam, Tapolokam or Satyalokam. So wherever liberation happens, then you are once for all, you don't have to come back again. From there you will only go up. So what I'm saying is that just because you go to Brahmalokam doesn't guarantee that you won't come back. You must not forget that. Just because you go to Brahmalokam doesn't guarantee that you won't come back. But if you have realized the self, then you won't come back. That is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita about it. Right? So, heavenly planets, Surgalokam, right? Ordinary people won't get there, is it not? Even heavenly planets, right? They, even those planets are subject to destruction. Heavenly planets. Also subject to destruction. Destruction. Subject to destruction. He mentions that also here. That they are also subject to these destructions. Amrutam kshayamam abhayam. That means that in those places also, amrutam means deathlessness. Kshayamam means freedom from losing something. That means you're always cared for, protected. Abhayam means fearlessness. These three things. They are present in the Tapolokam, Janalokam, Satyalokam. Which means Amrutam, Kshayamam, Abhayam. Yeah. Now, Bhumi, Surgam, and Andari, Bhur, Bhuvaswa, the three worlds, what we talk about, those three places, there is rebirth. There is rebirth, right? Now, these three places, Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam, this is meant for the Grihasthas. Grihasthas won't be going very fast from here. It looks like that. When you read that, you never think, oh, should I not got married, you think. When you read that part of it. Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam is for the Grihastha. Right? And Brahmachari, Vanaprastham and Sannyasam, it is their logam. Which one? Janalogam, Tavalogam, Satyalogam is for them. When they say like that, Grihasthas all get very depressed. Is it not? So, what it means is, that if Grihastha remains as a Grihamedi, without knowing the purpose of life, simply living a feeling that maintaining family is the only business in life, and living in that way in this world, he is actually the one who has to face that. But as Grihastha is also a part of Varnam, isn't it? Varnashrama dharmam it is, ashrama dharmam it is, right? So, when they say like this, Brahmachari and Vanaprastham and Sannyasam doesn't have to do Vyavaharam in this world. Isn't it? When you have to do vyavaharam here, automatically you will develop all the bad things. You have to interact with the world in different ways, right? So, you remember Amrutam Kshemam Abhayam, it mentioned, right? That Amrutam Kshemam Abhayam is like this. When you go up from Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tavalogam, Satilogam, like that, right? In Maharlogam, there is no Kshemam. Kshemam is not there. Because at the time, Kshemam means that you are not protected completely. Why? Because at the time of devastation, from Sankarsana Murti, the fire that comes, Pralaya Agni, that comes from his face, it will go there, and all those who are present in Maharlogam have to go up to Janalogam. They have to go up there. And so that means Maharlogam is not completely safe in that way. In the sense that there is no Kshemam in Maharlogam, right? But Maharlogam is a part of the Kramamukti. You remember Kramamukti means gradual liberation. Rather than getting liberated here itself, you are going through different planets because our vasanas have not gone. Therefore, at the same time, you have done a lot of sadhana, which means you will keep going up, but at the same time, when you get to Maharlogam, there is a chance that there is no Kshemam there. You are not feeling any guarantee there. But Maharlogam is a part of that route, part of that route. But when devastation happens, you have to leave Maharlogam, and therefore there is no permanent happiness there. But if you go to the next one, Janalogam, there is happiness there permanently. But there is no chance that you will be replaced from there or asked to leave that place. But there is another anxiety there. All these people who will come from Maharlogam at the time of devastation, when they come, those who are living in Janalogam, they get upset. Just like here also, what happens, isn't it? Within our own planet, when it happens, people get disturbed over that, right? So, at the time of that devastation, Sankarsanamurti, when Sankarsana Agni, it's called, the Agni fire that comes from Sankarsanamurti, they will have to witness that, who are in the Janalogam, they will have to witness that. Therefore, Kshemam and Samadhanam is not there in the Kshemam means Samadhanam, peace of mind. You don't feel peaceful in there. But happiness is there, where in Maharlogam, right? But you won't be able to live happily in peaceful way in Maharlogam. In Janalogam. Because this Maharlogam people will come any time. And therefore you will have a problem there, right? So, in this way, and when you see their distress, those who have come from Maharlogam, you will get disturbed in Janalogam. So, when you see the distress of somebody else suffering in life heavily, if you are living peacefully, you will feel disturbed by seeing somebody else's disturbances, right? So in Janalogam, complete happiness is difficult. That means, even though happiness is there, Kshemam is not there. A peaceful way of existence is difficult. That means Amrutam is there, Kshemam is not there. But Shanti or peace or Samadhanam is not there. And when you go further up, there is Tapolokam. But even though you have gone to Tapolokam, the Moksham is still a long way from there. Therefore, Tapolokam, even in Tapolokam, the fear of material existence is still there. You know what that means? Fear of death. Even up to Tapolokam, you feel that fear of death. We all have fear of death. And the same way, even if you go to Mahalokam, Janalokam, all, you still have the fear of death. It doesn't leave you, right? But at the same time, once you get to Satyalokam, you realize that you are very close to liberation. Yeah? And therefore, in Satyalokam, you don't have the fear of death. Of the fear of death. It's not there. In this way, Janalokam, Mahalokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam. Lord Brahma talks about that in this chapter. We'll continue after a few minutes.
Tejodarpanamarjanam Vomaha Davagni Nirvavanam Shreyakaitava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidyavadu Jivanam Anandambudhi Vardhanam Pratipada Purnamradaswadanam Sarvatna Subhanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namna Magari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti Tatrar Pida Nivida Smaranena Kala Eda Drishitava Kripa Bhagavan Mamavi Durdeva Midashamiha Janina Nuraga Trinaravi Shunichena Taroravi Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Yasada Hari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Navidamha Jagadishagamai Mama Janmani Janmanishwari Bhavada Advaktirahai Dugitvai Ayi Nanda Danuja Kingaram Patidamam Shami Bhavam Budho Krupaya Tavapada Pangajasti Daduli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Vatanam Gadgadiruddhaya Giram Pulakair Nichidam Gadavabu Tavannama Grahane Bhavishyadi Yuga Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravisha Idam Shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashlishya vapadaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karotuva Yatha thadava vidhada dulam pedo Malpranatha astuna yevana para Sarvatra govinda nam sangirtanam govinda govinda. Amrutam, Abhayam, Kshayamam. You'll see that mentioned in the 18th verse, in the 6th chapter. Padeshu sarvabhudani, pumsastidipado vidhu. Amrutam, Kshayamam, Abhayam. Trimudhnodhai murdhasu. What he's saying that these three, Mahalokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam, comparing the conditions in those three places, Mahalokam, Janalokam, Tapalokam, and once you get to the Satyalokam, then you get free from that problem. That's what he's saying. Sriti Vijakrame Vishwak Sashanan Ashane Shubhe. The next verse, Ubhe, Yada Vidyaja Vidyaja Purushastu Ubhayashraya. Verse 20. So 19 and 20, those two verses are the key message in that 6th chapter. In the 6th chapter. And here, what he says, Amrutam Kshayamam Abhayam, isn't it? So, Satyalokam, which is Brahma's planet, which is the highest one, right? All the four are mukti. You can get liberated in all the four places. Tapalokam, Janalokam, Mahalokam, Janalokam, Tapalokam, Satyalokam. Once you get to Mahalokam, which is the lowest among the four, then Jiva does not fall off again back into the lower planets. When we say this, you have to remember, it's based on your spiritual advancement, not based on the sacrifices. Yeah? Sacrifices you can perform and come to Brahmalokam, but because you won't be self-realized, you will fall back. That is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. It is that aspect is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Lokam Punaravartin Arjuna. That verse is referring to that. That means, after performing sacrifices, these Ashwamedham and all, you can reach right up to Brahmalokam. It is possible. But Krishna is saying, you won't be liberated from that. You will fall back again. But if you have self-realized before that, if you have realized the self
who you are, then the chances are not there of falling back again. Provided at least if you have reached Maharlogam. If you have reached up to Maharlogam through sadhana process, if you have reached up to Maharlogam, then there is no chance of falling back again. So, these are the general rules, right? But again, to get this point across to us, that liberation is only possible if you have knowledge of the self, not otherwise. Liberation is only possible if you have knowledge of the self. And knowledge of the self is only possible either through three processes: Bhakti Margam, Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam. In the Kabila Maharshi's teachings, it is there. And Krishna says in a little differently, Bhakti Margam, Jnana Margam, Karma Margam. I talked about this before, is it not? In 19th chapter, Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna says three: Bhakti, Jnanam, Karmam. Kabila Maharshi says Bhakti, Jnanam, Yogam, he says. So, Ashtanga Yogam is included in the Krishna's explanations in the Karma Margam, or in the Bhakti Margam. So, Krishna talks about those three processes, Bhakti, Jnanam, Karmam. Yoga, Strayi, Maya, Prokta. He says there, isn't it? In the 19th chapter. You must not forget all that, because all this is connected with this. And similarly, here, you can see that the Kapila Maharshi is saying is Karmam, Jnanam. So, only any of those, whether it is Karma Margam, Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, if you have done the sadhana well and you have got to Maharlogam, then there is no chance of coming back. You will go further from there. So two ways a jiva can go. One through avidya with karma. You are performing karma and avidya with you, carrying avidya with you. But through karmam you can come to even Swargalogam and you can enjoy there, but you will come. And that is the avidya's gadi, the way avidya takes you, right? Then vidya is the one which is called sadhana process. Vidya is the sadhana process. Avidya is the karma process. Do you get the point? That means to show to us, jnanam is always superior to karma. Karmam is always inferior. Through karmam, if you go, you can go up. But then the possibility is that you will fall. Whereas if you go through jnanam, you won't fall back. That's what he's saying here. Vidya upasana, avidya upasana. Avidya upasana is karma upasana. That means through karmam, if you go up, even the great personalities also, they had difficulty with sadhana. Sadhana is not easy. Sadhana is only possible only with Krishna's grace and if the person is very determined in spiritual life. Only such people will be able to execute sadhana. Otherwise, everybody is attracted to karma. Karma is their gadi, karma gadi, right? So, through vidya if you progress, through knowledge if you progress, vidya means knowledge of the self, then you will ultimately get liberated and you will go, you will be coming back. So, Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tapovalogam, Satyalogam, for that to get there, actually, upasana. Upasana means sadhana is required, right? And what is that upasana? It can be Vaidhiya Mantra Upasana, that means Gayatri Upasana, or any other Vaidhiya Mantra, what you have received through the great personalities, right? And again, there is Vaidriya Mantra Upasana and there is also Tantriya Upasana. Both are there, right? Tantriya Mantra Upasana. But karmam, through karmam, if you go, avidya, which is based on avidya. Karmi means avidya, isn't it? And if you have moved away from that and through upasana properly, you make a vidya. With knowledge if you go, and jiva can make proper progress in that way. Like you can see, for kamya karmam, you become swarga prapti. That means you get to the heavenly planets. And that is the gati of karma. For example, if you perform Vedic sacrifices mentioned in the Vedam, and if it is executed, then Surga Prapti is possible. That is why all the kings are attracted to that. Ashwamedham, Adhiratram, Agnishtomam, Vajapayam, so many sacrifices mentioned there. They were busy in executing that. They found that easier than doing sadhana. Sadhana is difficult. Any sadhana is difficult, isn't it? You have to do it for a very long period of time, and that too several lifetimes. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Aneka janma samsiddhim tebiyadi parangadhyam, he says. You may have to execute many, many lifetimes through sadhana process to go up. So, through these both, karma also you can go up, but upasana also you can go up. But if you go up through karma, you will fall back. That is definite. When the time is finished, you will have to come back, right? All this is, what we are talking about, is the explanation of Purusha Suktam prayers. The message in the Purusha Suktam, that's what we are talking about. Not verse by verse translation or purport. What is spoken in the Purusha Suktam is this. This is the message in the Purusha Suktam, right? So, as I mentioned before, the planets which are on the lower level, Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam, which is just above the earthly planet, they are places for grihasthas. Grihasthas live in a life here, enjoying their life, and also they perform sacrifices or something, and then they go to they can go right up to Surlokam. And those three places, Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam, in all the three places, the rebirth happens. That means you have to exchange the body in these three places, right? And a grihastha, wherever he goes, he'll be a grihastha. He will like to have a householder life. So even if he goes to Surgalogam, he would like to be a householder there. That's what he's saying, right? So he finds it difficult to remain as a brahmachari, right? So, those three places, Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam, and after if you leave that, then the remaining ones are brahmachari, vanaprastham and sannyasam. Which one? Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tavalokam. Those three, right? And Janalokam, you can get by brahmacharyam. And tapolokam, you can get there by tapas, by austerity. And brahmalokam, you can get there through upasana, right? For example, people who have done very strong upasana here and remained as naishtika brahmachari life here, never attracted, that means perfection in renunciation, vairagyam, and bhakti, and jnanam. Once they got to that, but if there is still vasanas left inside, he will go in this route. And he will get to there, brahmalokam, he can get there, up to brahmalokam, right? So, a naishtika brahmachari who has studied Vedam here, Veda dhyanam, who has studied Vedam, and who has served his spiritual master, Guru, properly, and then he has moved from Brahmachari ashram to Vanaprastham, not going through Grahastha, straight from Brahmachari to Vanaprastha ashramam, and if he has executed the Vanaprastha requirement, what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, right, and then from that Vanaprastha ashramam, then if he performs those upasana what is required from there, gradually he can go into higher planets And this is called, these three planets, which one? Janalogam, Tabalogam and Satyalogam. This is the process for that person who has from Brahmachari life to Vanaprastham to Sannyasam, who goes in that way. That means your Brahmachari life has to be perfect. Yeah? What the way it is expected from a Brahmachari. The proper Brahmachari, if you read, is not just put saffron clothes and walking around. He just need to have that strength of Brahmacharyam in him. And same thing with the Vanaprastha Ashramam also. And then he comes to Sannyasa Ashramam, right? So for them, they can gradually go up. And these three are called Vidya, Vidya Margam, Vidyamayam, Vidyamayam that is. The Grahastha's way is Avidyamayam. Grahastha is Avidya inside, right? Therefore, he will get, who has this Brahmachari, who has gone in this proper way, he will get Krama Mukti, gradual liberation. He will get that at the end. In this way, both Vidya, Avidya, means, Avidya means karma, karma associated with karma and its upasana. And that is what he is saying here in the 20th verse. Sriti vichakrame vishvak sasanam ashane ubhe yada avidyaja vidyaja purushastu ubhayashraya. Both in the avidya path and the vidya path, ubhayashraya, both of them is their path. In the sense that through karma also you will be going through the same route, but through knowledge also you will be going through the same route. But the person in the knowledge will go up, but the route is the same. The route is the same. Suppose you have performed the sacrifices and you have acquired such an amount of, like you can imagine the kings, they found easier to perform 100 Ashwamedham than performing sadhana. Sadhana is not easy. Sadhana is difficult. And that too, to get a life like that from the very beginning, not touched by sense gratification. A body never touched by sense gratification. It's very difficult. Especially today, you cannot even talk about it, isn't it? That at a very early age, we are all spoiled in one way or the other. By the age of 8 or 10, you give them a mobile phone. And then that's enough for him. He will be finished. So, that's a different. But Brahmachari's mind is different. Proper Naisika Brahmachari's mind is different. What he's saying here is that Purushastu Ubhayashraya, he said. He has these two paths chosen for him. And Jiva, if he is absorbed in karma, and in that way, and he can develop knowledge and go in the right direction, but karmanushtanam and through vidya. That is one process, right? Brahmacharyam tapasa upasana. Now, this is all for the jivas here. All for the jivas, right? Ishvara is concerned. He is not affected by this vidya business. Yeah? He has no... His actions is not affected by karma bhalam, like we have. This is all for the jiva. When jiva engages in karmam, he will get results of the karmam. He has to enjoy or suffer. This problem doesn't exist in Ishvara. Ishvara doesn't have that, right? And because he is always a liberated state. Even though he is present here, he is always in the liberated state. So he is eternally liberated. Karmam is only for Ajnani. Ajnani means jivas who are in the conditioned state. Karmam is only for them. Which you can understand why. Karmam is only for the Ajnani. And karmam is our whole life, is controlled by karmam. Right? So, whereas Ishvara's situation is different. Ishvara is always in the realized state. In the realized state. And therefore he is always liberated as well. And even though he is present here in this creation, he is above this creation. He is present in the creation, but he is outside the creation. Look at the verse 21. Yad esma dandam virat jatni bodhendriya gunalmaga tadravyam atyugadishvam gobhi suryam ivatapan. That verse is saying that he gives a comparison that sun is showing us everything what is present here through the sunlight. Yeah. So, but sun has nothing to do with the object. As soon as sun comes, we can see the objects. We can see the world, isn't it? So what does sun do? Sun doesn't do anything. Sun just comes and goes away. But so that means by his very presence only, we get the capacity to sense everything. Existence of this world. We get to know by his presence there. Just presence, nothing else. He doesn't do anything. Sun comes, just by his presence, we get to see the world. And we experience this world, right? So, in the same way, Krishna has present in this whole world, just like the sun, but has nothing to do with the world. Just like nothing affects the sun. Sun comes and sun goes. Similarly, Krishna is present here all the time, but nothing is affecting Krishna here. When I say Krishna, Sachidananda Brahma, that's Satya Chitta Anandam, pure consciousness, that's Krishna. That Krishna is present in this creation, but is not affected by anything what goes on in this creation. What goes on in this creation, right? So therefore, he is eternally liberated, even though he is present in this world, like us, right? And he says there, when we do karma, we get results from that, and it creates vasana in us, and we'll have problems later because of that. Is it not? Karma creates all these problems. Karma phalam will come, depending on, and suppose you have worked with a lot of effort to get some result, naturally it would have created a lot of vasana inside, karma vasana. And that karma vasana is the profit what you get from the karma, all the vasana that you have created. And then the phalam, you have the karma phalam, the result of that, what you have tried to enjoy, right? And that all affects us. It stays in the memory, that's vasana. And that will generate another body for us, and we will have to go through another body for that. These problems don't happen to Ishvara, because he is not doing the karmam like the way we do karmam. He doesn't have any, he is present here, but nothing is affecting him. And his karmam is also like that. It doesn't cause any problem for him. It doesn't cause any problem. He doesn't create any vasana when he does karma. And he doesn't, the results don't bother him. Either way, it is. Whatever it does. Krishnavadaram, you can see this. So many things Krishna has done. If you look at all the murder he has done, he should have been in prison forever. But it doesn't happen that way, isn't it? Why? Because karma has nothing to do with him. Maya is doing everything in his presence. Maya is doing everything. So that is what he is saying here. Then Maya creates everything, and Krishna is saying there, Brahma is saying this, I create under his instructions, and Lord Shiva destroys everything under his instructions, right? And Krishna himself maintains this creation in combined with Maya together, right? And also through incarnations. All incarnations to assist Maya in maintaining this creation going like this. All the incarnations, right? So, that part of it is Vishnu's duty, maintenance. So therefore all incarnations comes from him. And that is what is spoken there. Then you will see, finally, this Purusha Suktam prayers, it is a topic you need to talk to highly learned people who can explain it properly. It's a difficult topic because it is a prayers from the Vedam, first of all. Even many Vedic scholars who can recite Purusha Suktam, they also don't know what exactly it all means. Yeah. some professors who are in the Sanskrit department, there are people who can very precisely untangle it, the whole Purushasuktam, and speak about it. There is something in the YouTube and all you can find, but you won't still feel satisfied with that. Properly understanding, I'm saying. Yeah? So anyway, thing is that after saying all these things, you know what Brahma said? After all these Purushasuktam prayers he is saying here, look at the 31 verse. Srajami tan niyuktoham haro hardi tadvasha vishyam purusharuvena paribadi trishakti drakya. He's saying that I have said all these things. You know, you said a lot of things before that. And if we can see right from Brahma Vaja, that means based on Adhyalpam, Adibhutam, Adidevam, the Viral Purusha's Vibhuti, and Viral Purusha's Vibhuti, and the Vibhuti, Vibhuti means the opulences of Viral Purusha, is confirmed by Purushasuktam prayers. So he is used to Purushasuktam prayers to confirm the opulences of Virat Purusha. Siddha Swami mentions that clearly here. Yeah? And then it goes like that, a lot of things said. And finally he says that I have been given this assignment, creation. Lord Shiva has been given the assignment for destruction. Yeah? And normally my words don't go wrong, he says. Because, and similarly, my senses and my vasanas or thoughts in any way will never go in the wrong direction because I have got protection from him. I have pleased him with my surrender and he is always protecting me. Brahma says this. You see this, what he is saying there? Nabha, verse 33. Look at verse 33. That's exactly, he's saying this openly to us. Na bharadi imenga mrsho balakshyade na vaikojinme manaso mrshagadi yenme hrishigani patandi asalpade yenme hrudaul kandyavadha drudohari. That is what he's saying there. Na bharadi imenga mrsho balakshyade na vaikojinme manaso mrshagadi Name Hrishigani Padam Dyasalpate Yade Hridaul Kandevada Drudo Hari. Because of Hari, Krishna has accepted me and gave me this assignment of creation. But I have taken his shelter before that to such a level that my mind will never go in the wrong way, wrong path. It will never go. My senses will never look for sense gratification. And yadme hridaul kandyavadha drudo hari. Because Hari is inside me, all the time directing me. And therefore, that possibility is not there. Right? He says like that. He says, my words doesn't go waste. And my mind and senses will not travel in the wrong path. Because I'm always taking his shelter. And that is how I am retaining this position like this, right? Then he says, 33, if you look at 33 verse, yeah? Then he says, 34, Soham samamna ayamaya stapo maya prajabadina bhivandida pati astaya yogam nipunam samahita stamnadhyagacham yadam alma sambhava. He's saying here, that Vedamayam. Yeah? Amnayamaya means Vedamayam. Amnaya means Vedam. Some Amnayamayam Tapomayam. To understand Krishna, this is the only path. Vedam and Tapasa. Both. Vedam and Tapasa. So, Vedamayam means that he is the master of all the Prajapati. Prajapati means who are engaged in the procreation. Yeah? Mariji, Atri, Angirasya, Pulasti, Pulaha, Kradu, Brigu, Vasishta, Dakshasya. All they are Prajapatis. Through that Prajapatis, population has increased. Increased population, yeah? So, and he says that even through this process, Yoga Margam, they have, Prajapatis have tried, and still they were not able to fully understand Krishna. They were not able to understand Krishna. And me too, he said, even by doing Yoga Margam, I could not get to know the origin, where it's all coming from, right? Who is the source of everything? What is Brahma saying there is, even if you take to Vedam, studying Vedam, or to any of the yoga process, there is no guarantee you will get to know the truth. Truth will only come to know when truth reveals to you. That's the important thing. This is why surrender is important. That you can do every sadhana 100% and did all your life and still I failed, says Brahma. Only when he decided to reveal himself to us, you will get to know him. Otherwise you won't. And that's my experience, he says. Very important thing to know in spiritual life. In spiritual life, we get to think that sadhana alone will get us to the destination. No. But does that mean you don't have to do sadhana? No. You have to do such intense sadhana. And finally you have to feel so helpless and force you to surrender. At that time, by his mercy, if he reveals to you, you can see, find him, understand him. That's the only way. That's how for everybody. It's not only our case, everyone's case, it's the same thing. And all those who have realized, it is always through their mercy only, Krishna's mercy. There are great personalities who have done great sadhanas throughout life, but they couldn't make it. They didn't make it. So that's exactly what Brahma is pointing out here. He says, I have tried through the Vedam, I followed the Yoga Margam, but I couldn't still get to know him, understand the source, where it's all starting from. But he revealed himself and it happened. Otherwise it won't happen. That is a very important message in spiritual life. Why? Because spiritual life you start sometime, some point, and then you keep on doing things, not realizing the helpless situation of the person who is doing sadhana. So, when Krishna out of compassion made me to understand this, I understood it. Otherwise, that's all it is, he said. That means, this Ishvara Tattva Jnanam, knowledge of the truth, which we say in the Bhagavatam, Vadandida Tattva Vidam Tattvam Jnanam Advayam, that Advaya Jnanam or Tattva Jnanam is very difficult to get to. You won't get it very easily. To show to us, is this is spoken. That it is not so easy as we think about it. We are not used to that, are we? We are used to a few years work and we get some result from that. That's the way our mind is conditioned to think like that. Rishi's mind is different. Rishis are expecting from people a very high amount of commitment in spiritual life. Otherwise it's not going to happen. It will go on like this for this life. Maybe you come back next life with a better vasana, samskaram. And with that samskaram in the next life, you will go further. So that is why Krishna is saying anega janma samsiddhim. Don't think about one life and make it happen. It's not going to happen. As much as possible, but one should do, in this life what we have got, as much as possible sadhana required should be done. So that in the next life, that vasana will carry with us and continue with the next stage. Next stage. So this is spoken here only for that reason. This verses. Na bharadi mengam rishova lakshade. Na vai kujin me manasam rishagadim. Na me khrishigani patandi asalpade. Yenme hridaul kandivadadrdo hari. Soham samamnayam ayastabhomayam. Prajabadi nam abhivandidapadi. Astaya yogam nipunam samahida stamna adhyagacham yada Atma sambhava. That this will not happen, fructify, it is not going to happen till absolute truth, Krishna himself, Brahman, Paramatma, Andaryami, Bhagavan, he reveals himself to us. It's not going to happen. Yeah. So, saying this with a lot of devotion, Lord Brahma offered obeisances to Krishna at that moment, in front of Narada Maharshi. He offers obeisances to him. right? So, and then he said a few things there that, now those may have things in a, generally like a devotee, he's saying that that you take shelter of all, you take care of all the devotees, and you make their life easier. That means not allow the devotees to suffer too much in material existence. What is Krishna's mercy actually? Krishna's mercy is this, that if you are able to get through this world without getting hurt and keeping your Krishna consciousness strong, that is Krishna's mercy. That's all you can expect at this stage. Able to maintain a good level of Krishna consciousness and able to get through this life without too much suffering from the material life, that is your good fortune. That is Krishna's mercy. That's what he's saying here also. That nadosmiham dacharanam samiyusham bhavachidam sustainam sumangalam yo atma maya vibhavam smabaryagal yatha nabaswanda matha pare kuta. More than that, what do you want from Krishna? One who has come to spiritual life, normally, if Krishna doesn't generate a lot of material desires inside, that's Krishna's mercy. If Krishna doesn't take us into a situation where suffering is too much that you can't handle it, that's also Krishna's mercy. So, that's what he's saying here. So, Krishna's maya vaibhavam, he says, even Krishna doesn't know the power of that maya. He's saying this in a way to make us aware how powerful maya is. Even Krishna doesn't know how powerful that maya is, he says, right? And and also he says, Krishna's opulence, one of the Krishna's opulence is this maya. That he can do with this maya a lot of things and change everything here, right? Through maya. And maya is the proof of that. Maya is one of the proofs of Krishna's opulence, right? And therefore, even for highly learned people, they also cannot understand this maya, right? As much as, first of all, it's said like that in the Bhagavatam, Krishna himself doesn't know about his opulences. You see, Krishna has got two things. One, all the Aishwarya Siddhis, isn't it? Anima, Mahima, Lekhima, Gerima, Prapti, Ishitvam, Vashitvam, Pragasham, they are called Aishwarya Siddhis. 8 Aishwarya Siddhis. Krishna has spoken about that in the 11th canto. He says, they are only present in me, he says. It's not present anywhere else. Those 8 in full is present in Krishna. 8 Aishwarya Siddhis, they are spoken. Anima, Mahima, Lekhima, Garima, Prapti, Ishitvam, Vashitvam, Pragasham. They are the 8 ones. It's in the 11th canto. We had spoken about that before. Then, the other things, what we call, these are the Yoga Siddhis. These are the Yoga Siddhis. All these 8 Yoga Siddhis are present in Krishna in full. Yeah? So when the yogis are practicing it, Ashtanga yogis, when they are practicing it, they are getting a little bit of that. They don't get it in full. In Krishna's pastimes, all these Yoga Siddhis have come at different times. When Trinavarta was killed, Shakadasura was killed, Akasura was killed, all of them, how did Krishna kill them? Different times, different Yoga Siddhis started coming out from Krishna. And that Yoga Siddhis were so powerful that the demons collapsed in that. None of them could survive that. Mahabharata also is another Yoga Siddhi of Krishna. They are the Yoga Siddhis. Then Krishna has got these Aishwarya Siddhis. What are they? Aishwaryam, Viryam, Yashasa, Shri, Jnanam, Vairagyam. The 6 things. In full. Again, in full. The 6 Aishwarya Siddhis in full, 8 Yoga Siddhis in full is only present in Krishna. It's only present in Krishna. Brahmam. You know. That's why Krishna is considered as Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Swayam Bhagavan is Krishna because he has got all these things incomplete. Right? And this is extended to such a level that wherever creation is there, they're all these are also present, available. And the end of that, even Krishna doesn't know where it ends, right? And so why it is difficult to know for anyone what is the limit of Krishna's Aishwarya Siddhi or Yoga Siddhi, right? But Lord Brahma is saying, finally, this is his conclusion, and that is very good. See what he says, 39th verse. That is the very cream of message in that chapter, in the 6th chapter. See what he says, Vishuddham kevalam jnana. Look at 38 also. Sa esham adya purusha kalpe kalpe srajatyaja altma altmanya altmana altmanam samyachidija paticha. Then Vishuddham kevalam jnanam pratyag samyag avasthitam satyam purnam anadyandam nirgunam nityam advayam. That verse. Vishuddham kevalam jnanam pratyag samyag avasthitam satyam purnam anadyandam nirgunam nityam advayam. Krishaye vidandi munaya prashandalpendriya shaya yada tadeva sattarkai stirodhiyeda vipludam. Verse 40. So look at those 38, 39 and 40, particularly verse 39. Yeah. What is it saying? That confirming what was spoken in the first canto. Vadandida tattavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam. And that Brahmaji is confirming here. Vadandida tattavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam is saying here. Vishuddham kevalam jnanam pratyak samyak avasthitam satyam purnam anadyandam nirgunam nityam advayam. This verse is a confirmation of that verse. In Brahmaji's realization, he is saying this. Yeah. So, that means, what is Bhagavad Swarupam? Bhagavad Swarupam is knowledge. Jnanam it is. Jnanam is Bhagavad Swarupam, right? And Jnanam is the Tattvam, or pure consciousness is nothing but knowledge. Is knowledge. What kind of person? Vishuddham. Vishuddham means there is no sense gratification there. Vishayagaram. You see, Vishayagaram means Vishayagara Shunyam, it says. What does that mean? It means when we contact a sense object, yeah, we get pleasure from that, is it not? That's what we making senses contact with sense objects. We get gratification of the senses. Senses get some satisfaction from that. And that is called a sense gratification. All senses do that, right? And but Brahman has nothing like that with the sense objects. Brahman actually helps us to experience the sense objects. We experience the sense objects. We. Brahman gives us the opportunity to experience the sense objects. That's what he's saying there. Vishuddham kevalam. That is why it is called like that. That Vishuddham means. This is a difference. Our senses are all used to sense gratification. He doesn't need sense gratification. His satisfaction or happiness doesn't come from the sense objects. Krishna doesn't get any happiness from sense objects like the way we get it. His happiness is all coming from the self. That is why it is called a Vishuddham. Vishuddham it is. If you have sense gratification, what that means is all our senses are, how do you call it? Poisoned already. It got poisoned, isn't it? For example, if one sense has got used to one gratification, that sense will keep on created a vasana inside and create a desire to enjoy that again. To enjoy that again. That means the sense object has gone inside and has created the samskaram inside. He doesn't have that problem. That's why it's called Vishuddham. Vishuddham is pure. Pure means sense gratification has no effect on him. He doesn't have any happiness from sense enjoyment like we do. Yeah. So then, then Vishuddham, right? So his responsibility, he actually helps us to experience the sense objects. That's his position, right? That means he is not Vishayagaram, but he is actually the Chaitanyam which illuminates the sense objects, right? And that is present inside in our intelligence, yes, intelligence. So it is Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means this living force inside, consciousness. That is called a Chaitanyam, consciousness. That consciousness which is present in the buddhi, in our buddhi, that is the one which goes and make contact with the sense objects, right? So that is called Vishayagara Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam that has become like that, right? So, and then what happened? Through the senses, it comes to the mind, and through the mind, it comes into the buddhi. Yeah? Which means that buddhi first takes the shape of the sense objects, and then when it comes in to the buddhi, the mind has to become aware of that, experience that in the mind, and for that the Antaryami has to go to the mind directly and make that experience happen in the mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, I mentioned this before also, that anything when you see, we were just talking about it, anything when you see something, we are so used to seeing this through the eyes. And we start thinking, oh, I've seen it. I've seen all of it, we say. This is the modern science version, isn't it? Seeing through the senses and confirming that. That's the way science is. You see through the senses. If you can't see through the senses, you use some instruments like telescope or microscope or something. And then through that, if you see and if you find it, you say you accept that. That means whether you see through instruments or see through the eyes, it's all based on your vision through the senses. Through the senses. Practically, we are living in the world of senses. Whereas all this is what is spoken here has nothing to do with the senses. It's outside that. And that's why it find it very difficult. And we are got used to this world of senses so much that to break away from this, we are finding it very difficult. Then we will say, oh, is it all, how is it going to help? Or what if we feel it's of no much help to me? That's because we are still thinking spiritual life is all in the world of senses. Senses have is the one. Many examples in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam will say that we have got five senses, right? And some living entities have got only three senses. Some have got only two. So, depending on the number of senses, your perception of anything will change. Because we have five senses, we understand this thing in a particular way, based on these five senses. Suppose you had more senses to understand this. See, five senses give you five types of report about this. Form, sound, touch, smell and taste. That's all the knowledge you can get through the senses. Sound, touch, form, smell, taste. You can't do anything more than that about this. Is it not? So, suppose there is some higher senses than this. You can get let to know more about it, what you may not know through the five senses. And if you don't have five senses, less than that, you will get to know very few only things about it. Just like, for example, about the snake, we say, he's called a Chakshushravana. Chakshushravana means he cannot hear and see at the same time. Either he can see or he can hear. That's why he's called that name, Chakshushravana. Chakshushravana means it's another name for the snake. So, he can't see and hear at the same time. Either he can see or he can hear. That's how it is. So he has only got those two senses and he has to manage with that. So you will see these snake charmers who catches the snake. There are a lot of people like that who do this as a business, and some people, there's a lot of people like that. And because this snake, they looked at it and they found the skin is useful for manufacturing so many leather products, isn't it? Snake skin. And our people will go and buy, paying hundreds of pounds in Harrods and all that. You know the man who is catching the snake, how much money he gets for a few rupees? He will kill a snake and he has to transport this dead snake to the leather tanning companies, and then they will tan, process it, everything. And by the time it comes to Harrods, one snake which made a good leather bag or something, it will be costing 1,000 pounds or something by the time it gets sold. So I'm just saying that how the senses have these problems, right? And after saying that, he said, Vishuddham kevalam jnanam pratyak samyak avasthitam satyam purnam anadyandam nirgunam nityam advayam. That same verse in the Bhagavadam, Pradhamaskandam, first canto, is confirmed by Lord Brahma in that verse, right? So, consciousness. Consciousness that is helping us to understand this. Yeah? And this is what is the most difficult part, to accept it first. That even though we are saying this, that Krishna is present in this, we will forget it because we are not used to thinking that way, isn't it? And because Krishna's presence is there in everything, and that is what is giving reality to this, not the senses. Senses are seeing it, but the experience you are getting inside, that this exists, that reality is given by Krishna. Krishna's presence in that. So that is why there is two ways Krishna is acting in us. One, through the buddhi, to bring this object into the mind. And then through the mind, Krishna gives the experience inside. You got it now, what I'm saying? Through the buddhi brings a message, or brings the object inside, and through the mind, Krishna enters in and gives that experience of what buddhi has brought inside, make that as your experience inside. You know how many times this is repeated in the Bhagavadam? At least 20 times. You may not have noticed that when we go to Stuti, you will find there that Chaitanyam present in us is in two folds. One, everything that it is helping the senses to make the reality of everything in this creation. The other one doing another job, completely different, making that experience inside the mind. And that is how experience comes. Experience comes. So one directly through the mind it works, other one through the buddhi. Two different ways, yeah? So, and that is why they are Chaitanyam. One is called Vishayagara Chaitanyam. That means becomes a sense object and brings it in. And the other one, that is illuminating the mind inside with the experience of it, that makes it happen. That's another Chaitanyam. So Chaitanyam itself, that consciousness, take this twofold root inside us. Right? So, out of these two, the one that comes and gives the experience is more important than the other one. This is why it is spoken separately. Actually, Chaitanyam is one. But based on the role it's playing inside, the one that comes and gives the experience inside is more important than the one which is bringing the form inside. There, it is helping the buddhi to bring the form inside or any attributes of this object. For example, this bottle. It has got water inside, it is bluish top, and its shape is like this. This is all what buddhi is doing inside. That effect of Chaitanyam is less important than the Chaitanyam that goes inside the mind and gives the experience of that for us. You see, experience of that, right? So, and this second one, the important one, which goes into the mind and gives the experience, that is Ishvara. That is Ishvara. So, if you ask the question, what is Ishvara? Difference is this. The Chaitanyam that has gone and brought this information is the Chaitanyam that has become Vishayagaram. That means it has taken the form of the sense objects. But the Chaitanyam that has given the experience inside is Ishvara. Is Ishvara. Right? Why is that? Because Chaitanyam inside is more important than the Chaitanyam outside. Chaitanyam, when it went out through the Buddhi, through Buddhi when it went out, and once it has gone out, it will only bring false information inside. Whereas Chaitanyam inside, Chaitanyam means consciousness, inside has got real life. That is the real stuff. That's the real ones. Therefore, when it works through Buddhi, it is outside. When it's worked through the mind, it is inside. You see? And the one that is working through the mind is more important than the one what is working through the Buddhi. Do you know what I'm saying? That Chaitanyam, this is important to know. You know why I'm saying these things? Because all your realizations in this world is the other one. Do you understand? That you studied books, you did experiments in the laboratory, or you practiced some things in this world, and from that, all that was with the help of Chaitanyam only you have done that. But what Chaitanyam has brought from that is lower value or inferior to what Chaitanyam is doing inside through the mind. Through the mind in the form of experience, realization. That is the difference between the two. Chaitanyam, and this will come again and again in the Stuti. You will find this. Great devotee is glorifying Krishna of his two sides like this. And that is Ishvara, right? For example, you heard the sound outside. That's not inside. It is outside, isn't it? And outside, you have heard that, and that is your experience. Outside it is. Similarly, you saw something. It is outside, right? So therefore, Buddhi is always Bahirmukham, outward looking. That is the problem with the Buddhi. Buddhi is always Bahirmukham. And this is the reason why they say that don't use Buddhi for spiritual advancement. Our problem is this. We got used to that so much, this Buddhi business. And everything, anything and everything in the Shastram, we will start using the Buddhi to understand, and we fail. We fail. And it won't make any sense at that time. So it's a difficult thing. What can you do? That's the way it is. There's no choice there, right? So Buddhi is Bahirmukhatvam, whereas Ishvara is Antarmukhatvam. Ishvara's influence in us is all inside, not outside, right? So, and Ishvara is Antaryami inside, who helps us, right? And he is inside, not outside. Buddhi goes outside, right? So that Ishvara, Antaryami inside, he is always present inside in the form of experience or realization, right? So Ishvara Anubhavam, experience coming from Ishvara is always inside, not outside. Whereas everything that is coming through Buddhi is all outside. Everything you are experiencing in this world through Buddhi is all outside. Everything that you are experiencing inside is all through Antaryami, Ishvara inside. And this is the barrier we have to get through. That we got so used to this Buddhi business, and Buddhi keeps bringing everything, and we keep busy with that, and then you are not getting anywhere after so many. And that is where spiritual life, and for that the only thing you can do is through sadhana. Sadhana is to block this Buddhi going out. Sometimes they say that even if you are not very serious in sadhana, at least if you do the sadhana, at least at that time the chances are that your mind, intelligence, Buddhi won't go out doing other nonsense. This is why they give importance to sadhana. For that, like in the traditionally, as I mentioned many times before, that the system was that the brahmanas spend their about 8 to 10 hours in the morning in sadhana. Why? Why did they do that? Because they don't want this buddhi to work too much. Buddhi go out and start busy with all these things. And all those who went to do that, they ended up in all the big positions in Google and Amazon and all that, but they have lost the other side. The Ishwara's influence, they have forgotten. You remember that Chandrasekhara Saraswati, Kanchi Kamakodi Piram, he was dead against it because he kept saying this, that don't get involved in this buddhi business too much. Buddhi is not the answer for that. Buddhi can't help you very much in spiritual life. Buddhi will go out because everything what buddhi does is with the world outside. What use is there to go and to help us with the world? This world, inside world, has to develop, open up. Ishwara, present inside as Antaryami, his support is required. So, and that is his position. And that is why he says there, that when that experience happening, samyak, you see the words he has used, Brahma has used very carefully the word, samyak, he is saying. Samyak means sandeha rahitam. Why is he saying like that? That means, once you experience it inside, you will have no more doubts about it. You will become completely free from doubt. Does God exist or not? These doubts will completely go with that. Doubt is only there because you are doing through the buddhi. But if it has come as experience inside, that will completely leave you. You will never become victimized by doubts about Krishna's existence. Krishna's existence, you won't doubt after that. Because you are experiencing Him inside. How can you deny that then? And that experience is what He is saying here. Samyag avasthitam. Samyag, that means sandeha rahitam. You have no more doubts about it, about His existence inside. And you have completely accepted that. You don't have any more doubts about it because you have experienced it inside. Right? So, and then sandeha rahitam. Right? So, Krishna inside as Antaryami, who is giving realizations inside, he is more important than Krishna who is working through buddhi and bringing information from outside. That much we will stop there today. We will continue on Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.